Well, our scripture for the sermon this morning is out of Ezekiel. It's our last Sunday here in this book. And the reading we have today, it's a portion of a much greater a chapter. It's actually a fairly lengthy chapter. We're getting the very beginning and the very end of it. In between there is a vision that Ezekiel had of the temple. And I'll read a portion of it a little bit through the sermon, but it is pretty detailed how to build a new temple in Jerusalem. I am not a person when I'm reading words and I'm trying to visualize something in my mind. It takes me a while to catch that. So if you'd like, I'd encourage you to take a look at that, what's in between there, to kind of get a grasp of the detail that Ezekiel had received in his vision, how he was telling. I think it's fascinating. But this restoration of the temple, this building of a new temple, was a sign of hope. It was a sign that they had returned, they had overcome, they were restored, they were rebuilt. So as you hear these words, I'd encourage you to have that on your mind as we're reading, starting at verse 1 of chapter 40 of Ezekiel, and we'll also read verses 48 and 49 as well. In the 25th year of our exile, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was struck down, on that very day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me there. He brought me in visions of God to the land of Israel, and set me down upon a very high mountain, on which was a structure like a city to the south. When he brought me there, a man was there, whose appearance shone like bronze, with a linen cord and a measuring reed in his hand, and he was standing in the gateway. The man said to me, "Mortal, look closely and listen attentively, and set your mind upon all that I shall show you, for you were brought here in order that I might show it to you. Declare all that you see to the house of Israel." Then he brought me to the vestibule of the temple and measured the pilasters of the vestibule, 5 cubits on either side, and the width of the gate was 14 cubits, and the side walls of the gate were 3 cubits on either side. The depth of the vestibule was 20 cubits, and the width 12 cubits. 10 steps led up to it, and there were pillars beside the pilasters on either side. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now I'll admit also, we're thinking about the idea of restoration and hope. We also don't think about it much in terms of blueprints, of being a sign of hope. But if you think about the context that we've been in the last several weeks, looking at Ezekiel, people exiled from their home, being cast out from all that they had known, being under a foreign power, really living with a lot of hopelessness, a lot of despair, knowing destruction, knowing that Jerusalem had basically been leveled, wiped off the map. And as we get near the end of this book, Ezekiel has this vision of rebuilding a temple, not just a little temple, but a large temple in Jerusalem. When we think about overcoming destruction, despair, and brokenness in our lives, sometimes it can seem a little absurd. Kind of like this idea of hope, the idea of a temple being hope, being rebuilt. For people in their time, it would have seemed absurd, and maybe that way for us as well. But when we have those moments of feeling hopeless, of feeling that there is no way forward, the idea of hope or the vision of hope can seem absurd. It could seem ridiculous. It could seem impossible. But I believe for us as a people of faith, we're called to see the world a little bit differently. We've seen throughout Ezekiel's work and his prophecies, we've seen how God can see the world differently, how God can see the idea of hope and restoration a bit differently than what we might see. But yet there's still hope. There's still restoration. There's still a new beginning. The challenge for us is as we move into that hope and that restoration in our lives isn't so much, living, with that, but almost what do we do with that hope, with that vision, with that new beginning? Now, for Ezekiel, it was pretty, cut and dry for him. And as I shared, with the children before, and we've heard the last several weeks, Ezekiel, if he's going to tell you something, he's going to tell it to you. And he was not worried about it coming off, off or anything like that. He was going to tell you kind of how it is, very straight, a very straight talker. And so for him, having an idea, a concrete, physical manifestation of hope for Ezekiel was the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. Now, rebuilding this temple, for us, when we think about building buildings, for us, especially even like here in the church, it's a church building. It's an important place. A lot of important, meaningful things take place here. This is where we gather to worship. This is where we baptize. This is where we confirm. This is where we marry. And this is even where we, celebrate the resurrection of those who have passed on when we have our funerals and memorial services. We know that in this place it is important. It is valuable to us. So I'd actually invite you to take that idea of how important this place can be and turn it up to 11 or so. Because that would be how important the idea of the temple would be for the people of Israel, for a people who are needing that physical manifestation, knowing that they had gone back to their home and that God was with them again. Now, ancient Jewish thought had the idea that the temple was the place where God dwelled. And so when you're making the sacrifices, following the practices there in the temple, you are literally doing it in the house of the Lord where God was right there with you. And that mattered to people Ezekiel was with, and it mattered to Ezekiel. And for their faith at that time, it was that vision of hope, that vision of a new beginning, of being fully restored and reconnected to God, having a house of the Lord, having a temple where they could be in worship and connect with God. Now, if we come to our 2019, ideas of how we interact with God, how we connect with our faith, and especially in light of the work, how Christ shared, how we're connected to God and the idea of the kingdom of God, the idea of the temple being the only place where God resides, it's not necessarily how we see God at work. We see God with us wherever we go. When we go to work, when we go to school, when we go out into the fields, when we're in harvest, when we are out hunting, when we are doing all these things, we still see that God is with us. We don't have a physical separation between us and God. But that idea of hope, that idea of living into that hope is still important to us. Part of also with the idea of the temple, and if you look really in between there, the two readings we had today out of Ezekiel, it gives directions, on the north side here, on the south side it's this, on the east side it is this, on the west side it is this. That temple, not only would it have been fulfillment of hope and resurrection, it would have been a proclamation to the whole world that God was there. The light of God was in this place and God was with his people in that place. Now, if you take that idea and the words of Christ, if you think about, Matthew 5, when Christ says that we are the light of the world, I believe that's important to kind of have those ideas together. Because even though we may not have the idea of a temple being the one place where God is, so if we are a people who go out knowing that God is with us and God guides us, the Holy Spirit goes with us in our day-to-day activities, then I believe that we are called to share that hope, to be that light out in the world. Instead of having the light in one location, in one city, at one address, as the people of God, we're able to go and bring that hope and that light. It gives us a direction to share that hope and that light as well as we have experienced that new beginning and the grace of God. As the grace of God has enriched us and calls us forward, I believe we can be that symbol, that manifestation, that place of hope out in the world beyond this place here. As wonderful and as special as churches are and our buildings and gathering right here, I firmly believe that we can do more, we can proclaim more when we take that light of Christ with us out into the world, wherever we are. It's also a challenge. It's also difficult to do this because we may be hesitant to share that new life, share that new beginning, to share that grace with those whom we are interacting with. And I don't believe that there's actually many ways we could do this. We don't have to share, you know, that grace and that hope purely based on words. If you're a person who doesn't talk a whole lot, I will admit the idea of sharing, you know, your faith with somebody, and that's a lot of words to use right there. That could be a little, you know, filled with anxiety, uncertainty. But I believe you can show that hope and that love not only with words, but with how you live your life, how you connect with someone, how you could sit with someone, how you could help them out when they are struggling. When the idea of hope or a new beginning or a fresh start for them seems completely, you know, absurd or ridiculous or impossible, I believe as a people of faith, we can be present in that moment and be there. And if nothing else, because of that same fresh start we've received with that new beginning with God, because of the grace of God, when we are sitting with somebody who feels that there is no hope in the world, we could sit with them and say, I hear you. I've been there. And I'm here in this place. You don't necessarily even have to use words. We forget how important physical presence can be in our world today. But I believe as a people of faith, we are called to follow those words of Christ and be the light out in the world. We may not be, you know, temples, so to speak, you know, with ourselves, but we can represent God. We can share that grace. We can share that hope and be that light in the darkness, especially for those who are struggling. I believe one of the greatest calls that we have in our lives as Christians is to share our faith, to go out into the world, to live in that great commission, to go to the ends of the earth, you know, baptizing one another in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, that great commission to go and share the faith, I mean, that is what it is. It is a great commission to go and to do. It's a commission of action, a commission of presence, but also a commission to bring that light into the world. Brothers and sisters, I believe we can be that light. That when we are seeing our world struggling, when we see our family members struggling, when we see our friends struggling, our coworkers, we can be that light in that moment. We can represent the hope and grace of God in those moments. So let's live into that call, live into that hope, and be that light for God in the world. Not because it's good for us, but so others can experience that same grace and hope that we have. Amen.